93rd Psalm. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to borrow one in front of you this morning. We want you to follow along. It's a whole lot better when we do that. When I get back next time, I'll be preaching out of Luke again. We've taken a few weeks off, and that's okay, because we've had different things that we were going to do. But anyway, you got this? Okay, thank you. Anyway, we'll get back to the book of Luke, and we've got exciting stuff. Luke 16 is where we'll start again, but this morning, we're going to do Psalm 93, and I'll explain why here in just a minute. It's a short psalm. It's a wonderful psalm. And let me just say this to you. It's the kind of psalm, hey, that if you're, and I know very few people that don't have some struggles in their lives. It's the kind that'll help us. And This will be great. Let's go ahead and look at Psalm 93 at this point, please. It says, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." Well, if we're going to talk about things and encourage ourselves, one of the things we have to realize is that some things never change. And you know, that's a good thing sometimes. I got to admit to you this morning that one of the reasons that we are going to be looking at this psalm is anytime, and I don't preach out of them a ton, I probably should do more, but it said to me one time, our daughter said, "I like it when you preach out of the psalms. I like how you do it. Verse by verse," and which I do most every Sunday. But she said, "I like the Psalms." But then, you know, she's about to make a change in her life and getting ready to go off to college, and things change in life. Now, we know whether you go to college or not, things change. And you know, there are some changes that I embrace. There are certain things I like. And if you say, "Well, I hate change," well, just remember, there was a time that there wasn't air conditioning. So don't tell me you don't like change. There were times there wasn't such a thing, I guess, as a buffet. So don't tell me you don't like change. And we could go on and talk about, you know, there were a time there wasn't cars. So don't tell me you don't like change. There's some change we like, some change we don't like. There are certain things. I like a change of scenery every now and then. I like when things sometimes are changed up. Like, we'll change the service around just to upset somebody. No, we don't do it to do that, but just to make people more sensitive to it. And different things that we do. But there are times in our lives as we go through transitions in our lives, one of the great encouragements that we have is if some things don't change. When I used to coach baseball, one of the things that we always did was we worked on fundamentals. We worked on how to hit, how to field, how to run, how to catch a fly ball, how to get your butt down for a ground ball. I mean, get the glove flat on the ground. All those kind of things. And the season might start rough, but by the end, man, we were clicking. Why? Because some things don't change. And regardless of if you're over here coaching 5-year-olds or you're coaching in the major leagues, it doesn't matter. Fundamentals are still fundamentals. And some things don't change. Well, we find in this psalm some great encouragement and something that everybody in here will identify with. And so as we go through this, I hope this will be as an encouragement to you as much as anything. You know, one of my daughters reminded me, and actually she challenged me, I think I mentioned it in a message. When she was visiting, she said, when I go to a church, I want to learn something new about God, or something I didn't know, or about Christ. And what she's saying is she wants the preacher to be studied, and that's a good thing. But there are times that we have to be reminded of what we already know. One man said, preaching is 90% of what people already know. Well, I don't know about that, because depending on what level you're on, you might not. But what we'll find here is comfort. What we'll find here is what we need. And as we read this, look at verse 1. He says, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved." Number one, I want you to get this. This is how it is. The psalmist, whether it was David or someone else, we really don't know. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what he's saying is, this is how it is. God is almighty. Okay? God has reigned, he does reign, and he will reign. Okay, you and I, we anticipate, we dread elections. You and I, we think, oh, the midterms are coming up, and all what's going to happen is this, are there shifts here and that? That doesn't concern God in the least, because he doesn't need our vote. God is in charge. He established the throne. Notice what it says. It says, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength." We'll get to that. It says, "Wherewith he hath girded himself." You see, God didn't need anybody to make him king, to make him God, because he already is. One of the great truths that you and I should know from the Bible and know is that he is self-sustaining. God needs nothing. He lives outside of time and space. He's the one who created it. So as God is king, it's not because someone made him king. He made himself king. And what a beautiful thing that is to understand. It says he is clothed with majesty. Now, the Bible teaches us that God is a spirit and that we worship him in spirit and in truth. However, what the Bible will do is give God human characteristics, even though he doesn't. He came in the form of Jesus, yes. But we're talking about God the Father. The reason is so you and I could understand, so we could identify perhaps a little bit with him. And what we find here is that he is clothed with majesty. What does that mean? Well, he's wrapped around with excellent things. You know, when you think about a king and the royal attire, when King Charles was crowned, man, he wore this thing with the long train on it, had the and all those things that come with it. But God is not attired that way. He's clothed with the brightness of his glory. All of creation itself is his glory robe. You know, when you think of all the things that he's done, the sun, the moon, the stars, the comets, all those kind of things. You see, God is robed in his character and all his works. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And that's what we see here in this, is we see a God that is full of splendor. This is how it is. He is clothed with majesty, but notice it says in this verse that he is girded with strength. It says, Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. Understand that we serve a God with unlimited power. My favorite author, A.W. Tozer, said this, to reign, God must have power, and to reign sovereignly, he must have all power. And this is what he said, his potency is absolute. There is no weakness in God. There is no lack of strength. There is no lack of power in his life. Psalm 62:11, the Bible says, power belongeth unto God. You see, there's no power that doesn't belong to him, and yet he empowers each believer to follow him. That's what we call grace. Isn't it interesting that with a believer, God will take his power, and as you and I need it in difficult times and in decision-making, you know what he does? He takes some of that power and he appropriates it to our lives. We need. And you know the great thing about it? It doesn't mean he has any less power. You know, I don't have much, but I got a certain amount of money in the bank, and I could look at Chris and I could say, hey, Chris, listen, I'm going to give you $100. Well, that's $100 less out of my account, right? But when God gives, he doesn't lack anything. It's not like he has less of it. And whatever our issue is, God has the power. He wants to share it with us. He empowers each believer. The order of the universe displays God's immense power, and that same power can bring the right order to our lives. The needed help and deliverance exactly when it's needed. Hey, look here. If you notice, it says, he hath girded himself. This is a great thing. Do you know back in Bible days, even the men wore robes, okay? Well, the way when the Bible says that he girded himself, what it means is that they would hike up their robes and they would take a belt and they would fasten it so that they could run. Now, here's what I want you to get. It said he hath girded himself. What it says is this. It says God is acting. God is on the move. God is expressing his power even when we don't see it. See, we don't have a God in heaven who stands at a distance and lets the world spin out of control. He's not a God who stands there and sees our hurt and is not willing to intervene. This is a God that is active. This is a God that runs to us as we run to him. God isn't just sitting still. He's always working. And if you'll notice, we're spending a lot of time on verse 1. We'll speed up here in just a second, but I want you to see this. It says, the world also established that it cannot be moved. Do you realize that an ordered world, may I even say an ordered universe, is evidence of God? We have atheists and others saying, well, there is no God. Well, the very fact that there, listen, I can get on my weather app. Now, if I were to get my phone, I could tell you what time the sun is rising and what time the sun is setting. I have another app that tells me when the tides come in. I have all sorts of things. How in the world can we know that? Because there's a God of order. There is a God of order. There is a God who put all things together. And there's a reason for this verse. This is how it is. That there is an order. An ordered life comes from biblical mandates. See, people, they're here and there. They're making mistakes all the time. They're it's a mess. You want to change that? Follow the principles from an ordered God. And see your life come into context, come into order. It's just small changes. You understand, if just small changes were made in the universe, everything would be out of whack. And so it is with a Christian. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You see, God, there are certain general principles that we all need to follow in the Bible. It starts with knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's where everything starts. And then there is a path for each and every one of us. And sometimes that path takes twists and turns. That isn't my concern. What my concern is that I'm following the path that God has for me. If you would have told me 30 years ago that I was going to be pastoring a church in Surrey, Virginia, I'd say, where? Who? And here we are. No, I... You know, I ask people a lot, and I've said this in church, how many of you envisioned your life turning out the way it did? If there was more than one person, I'd be shocked. But that's not it. The life we need to envision is the life that God has for us, and allowing God to lead us to make decisions that maybe we wouldn't normally make. But this is how it is. God is all-powerful. God is at work. God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And as I said, I was saying to, and He is almighty. And I say, as I am sharing, as this is her last service, is all sorts of things can happen. But this is how it is. And it's always about going back to God. Not only do we see this is how it is, we see it has never been any different. Look at verse 2. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. You see, the great thing about this is God is all enduring. In other words, He never hasn't ruled and He never will stop ruling. The question is whether we let Him rule in our lives. Nothing changes now or in the future. God doesn't look at poll numbers. God's reign has stood the test of time throughout eternity. Through Satan's fall, through man's rebellion and fall, through the Tower of Babel, through all the things that have going on, He's still on the throne. You know, we think of great kingdoms. You think of the Roman Kingdom. Or maybe you think of the Ottoman Empire. You think even of our country that's going to celebrate 250 years this coming July 4th. It's amazing. And it's wonderful. But that's just a flash in the pan. Kingdoms come and go. But this kingdom, God's kingdom, stands for all of eternity. And every knee will bow to this king. It's just a matter of whether we will bow to this king now or we will bow to him later. And that can be an eternal matter. For those who know Christ as their Savior, this should be of the greatest comfort and encouragement. What we just need to do is simply follow Him. Some people, maybe you've gotten off that path. Maybe there was a time when you did serve Him with all your heart, where you knew you were close to Him, and you've gotten away. Here's the great thing. That kingdom still stands. He's on the throne, and He's just waiting for us to come back. It's not going to change. Why are these two verses so important? Because they establish most everything we need to know when times get tough. When we feel overwhelmed with what's going on in our lives and what's going on around us, these two verses, the idea of this is how it is and it has never been any different, is a foundation for strength and hope. So the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he's writing this, he establishes this to get to this, to the third point. Current situations can be true. Look at verse 3. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Do you know it says there, the floods have lifted up. That term lifted up means that they have advanced. They've advanced their voices. Look what it says there. It says the floods have lifted up. The floods have lifted up their voices. Have you ever noticed that when you're struggling, the voices of that trouble are louder sometimes than God's voice in our lives? Have you noticed that? We can get consumed in our troubles, can't we? We can get consumed in our issues. Well, the psalmist is admitting that. Hey, listen, you're not spiritual because you have troubles. You're not unspiritual because they've gotten loud in your lives and it's become overwhelming. We become unspiritual when we stop listening for the voice of God and allowing God to do His part. But even the psalmist here is admitting. He says, my goodness. He says, these voices. Now, I love the ocean. How many of you like the ocean? How many of you like it? I love it. Always have a little boy on up. We used to go to the ocean at least 1 week every year. And we'd stay on the boardwalk. And our room would overlook it. And I remember there were times that I even fell asleep on the balcony. Now, there's where you don't want to wake up on the wrong side of the bed, right? But anyway, what? I loved the sound of the waves. But you know, you could tell when high tide came in. How? They got louder. They crashed with more ferocity, if you will. It seems like troubles are that way sometimes. You know, we had in our Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study, we just had really one of the most amazing ones we've ever had this past Wednesday. Only got to about 20 minutes of Bible study because we had and definitely more than one that were just pouring their hearts out and asking community of believers that were here to pray for them. We talked about the issues in our lives, really, I'm sure there's more, but they come from two main sources. Number one, from a fallen, sinful world. There are just some things happen that just come from sin. And the Bible talks about the earth groans. We groan in a sense. We're heading up, I think a lot of you know, Sandy's brother, who's been sick for about a year and a half, passed away. And we're going to be heading up. We have a funeral early this week. And it's not where we were planning to be, but it's where we're going to be. And the truth is that happens to everyone. And so there's the idea of sin in this world, and then the fact that we make bad choices. And we have to live with our choices, and we have to live with the aftermath of our bad choices. But at the same time, and those can roar, there is a God that loves us. There is a God that oversees things. These waves might advance. And what they're talking, here's what they're talking about. When it says about the waves, it's talking about when they crash, the breakers. I was telling you about liking to go to the ocean. And one of the things I loved to do was to dive into the waves as they were breaking. And I remember there was a storm out to sea and the waves were ridiculously good 1 year. And I can remember going out and diving in, but man, one caught me. And I kept tumbling over and over again. You know, I didn't care if I was upside down, but I couldn't get my hands to even find the bottom. And it became very discouraging because here I am tumbling. I was a decent swimmer. I doubt I am now, but I was and swim. And you know, that's what happens in our lives when the breakers come. Sometimes we can't find which way is up. And so what do? Well, these waves advance, and some things can happen in our lives if we're not careful. There can be bitterness in our lives. There can be anger if we don't dwell on the truth. Because it is. And here we are, we're trying to live a life, and hopefully we're trying to live for the Lord, and it just seems like the struggles are coming, and sometimes they turn us upside down. What in order do we do? Well, remember our first two verses. You know, this is how it is. It's never been any different. But current situations can be troubling, and they're coming up. But fourthly, God is greater than them all. Look at verse 4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. He is all victorious. If you turn just a couple pages, would you turn with me to the 124th Psalm? It's just a couple pages over. The 124th Psalm. David did write this one. And it was a song that they would sing. Psalms are songs. It is a song they would sing as they were approaching the temple at Pentecost. And it said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Look at verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. What we see there is God is greater. God doesn't necessarily fight in the floods. Notice what it says. It says, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. The waves might feel like they're getting above us, but He's above them. They never get to Him. You know, sometimes as a pastor, people will come for counsel. And man, they're in the thick of it. And it's a problem. Whatever the problem is, they're in the thick of it. And they're like, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And by the way, I appreciate that. What did I do? Did you do that? Yes, you did. Anyway. Now, where was I? Huh? Yeah, and people would come to me in the thick of it. And I'd hear their problem. Man, let them tell me everything. Say, okay. Well, I do this, 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 and this. And sometimes they look at me and go, yeah. Well, what was the difference? Guess what? I'm not in their problem. I'm on the outside, right? So guess what happens? I have clarity that they don't. They're dealing with a difficulty and it has consumed them. When we go to God, God will help us with our problems, but we never have to be worried about Him being consumed by the problem because He's above it. He sees everything and God will help us and He will give us clarity. He will do what we need Him to do, whether we agree with it or not. And the psalmist is saying here, look, you have a king that's been forever. He's sovereign. Things go the way He says they're going to go. He is all-powerful, and not only is He all-powerful, but He is above every problem you have. So that when we go to Him, it's not that He isn't feeling, it isn't that He isn't compassionate, but God is above it all, and He looks down and says, okay, this is how I'm going to deal with it, as we allow Him to do so. What an encouragement that is. We have a Savior who will navigate our problems for His glory. The oldest book ever written in the Bible was the book of Job. Now, it's not the first book. We have Genesis. And that's because it's chronologically the first book we learn about creation. But Job is the oldest written book in the Bible. And you talk about a guy who had a bad day. In one day, he lost all of his children. He lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his herds. Then he lost his health. And he had a wife who said to him, curse God and die. And you thought you had a bad day, huh? Job starts out well. He gets. And do you know? And he says, why, God? Why has this got to happen? And you know what God did? God never told him why. God, in about five chapters, I'm going to guess it's five, it might be more or less, described who He was. He didn't give him an answer. He just said, basically, because I'm God. And do you know how Job responded? He worshiped Him. And do you know what God did? God blessed him double. We don't know why, sometimes. But I have a God who I trust. And you have a God who reigns. And we might not get our answers until we get to heaven. But here's what I know. There is a God in heaven who's going to receive glory somehow, some way. There is a God who knows what's best for me. And He is greater than any of the problems that I come into. Do you know, though events seem to be constantly shifting, God has full stability. Do you know the phrase, it says, it shall come to pass, is 131 times in the Bible. In other words, God said it, and it's going to happen. Let me give you the fourth thing, or the fifth thing here. All that God has spoken is true and will come to pass. All that God has spoken is true and will come to pass. His promises, His commands, and our future. This is what will calm your chaos. Okay, this is what will calm your chaos. You might not like the life that's been thrown at you. You know, one of the things that I'm having visited, I guess it's three third world countries. Third world countries. I mean, They epitomized the term poor as dirt. Because they, all three places I went, people lived in dirt. And I thank the Lord that I was born in the United States of America. I thank the Lord for the family I grew up with. I thank the Lord for the wife God gave me. Now, she might not be as thankful for me as I am for her, and I completely understand that. But I'm thankful for her. Thankful for my children. Anyway, I'm thankful for the church the Lord has allowed me to under-shepherd. I'm thankful for a lot of things, but can I tell you? It still can get heavy, can it? We need to be thankful for what we do have. Can I say this? that all that God has spoken is true and will come to pass. And when the difficult times come, when the bad reports come, we know that His promises, His commands, and our future will come to pass. One man said it this way: nothing is more powerful than the Lord, nothing is more steadfast than His reign, and nothing is more sure than His word. You know, despite all of our problems and all of the opposition that you and I face, God reigns supreme. And even in the midst of all the chaos, God's voice can be heard above it because God is above it. Even when the enemy has told us we failed and wants us to give up, we don't have to, because He is greater. Let me just end with this. His promises are worthy of our reliance. His promises are worthy of our reliance. He's the King. So, when He makes an edict, it's... And guess what? You want to hear the great thing about it? He wants to use us. As things come to an come to a conclusion on this earth, He desires to use every one of us for His glory. So many times we let the waves, the noise of them, and as they approach us, and we think they're going to overwhelm us. But what should overwhelm us is God's love for us, God's power and strength that can get us through it, and the comfort and encouragement realizing that there's something greater ahead. What are you dealing with this morning? What are you struggling with? I said at the beginning that I kind of had my daughter in mind because she's entering a next phase of her life, and mom and dad aren't going to be there, not physically. But God doesn't change. He's there. And if she'll allow, just like any of the rest of us, to allow our struggles to draw us closer and to glean our strength from Him, we will find that the quality of our life will exceed anything we could have ever imagined. We might not get everything that we wanted, but we will get Him, which is more than we need.